We're beginning here with the two dots on the top of Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara here is going back to the bright that brought late in yesterday's daf with regards to the Kodoshim of a Oved Kochavim. And now it's going to go back to investigate some of the statements that were made in the bright, the first of which is, Amar, Uktashe Ovde Kochavim, Lo Nehenin, Velo Moalim. And you can't get Hana from them, but there's also no Mi'ilah. And we interpret that to mean, Lo Nehenim Midrabanan. You cannot get Hana from them, which is Takanad Derabanan. Below Ma'olim, Midoraita, Mina Torah, there's no din of Mi'ilah. Bali Tosafot of Ira questioned why you couldn't say that it was Lo Nehenin Midoraita. And Tosafot says because the Kedusha of this item, as we're going to see and we saw yesterday, doesn't include things like Pigul, Notar, Vitameh. So it would be unlikely that it would have Hana or an Easter Hana Midoraita. There is obviously something of a lower form of Kedusha that's associated with this Korban. So my time, what's the reason over here when you have Kodoshim of an Oved Kochavim that it only has the status of a problem of Mi'ilah Midrabanan and not a problem de Oraita? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says in Perek Hei in Vayikra with regards to a Korban Asham Mi'ilot, over there it tells us, V'yadaber Hashem Mashalemor Nefesh Ki Tim'ol Mal V'chata Bishgaga Mikodshe Hashem V'yat Hashemot Hashem Ayol Tamim Minatzon V'erkecha Kesef Shkalim V'shekel Kodesh LaHashem. This is what is known as an Asham Mi'ilot. It's the Korban that you bring when you misappropriate that which belongs to Hekdesh. And we're going to see numerous times upcoming in the Mesechtot in Mi'ilah, the idea of Vayofinan Chet Chet Mitruma, that there is a Gzare Shava between here and Truma. Over here it uses the term Chet, as we saw, Nefesh Kitimol Ma'al V'chata'a B'shkaka Mekodshe Hashem. And so you see the word Chata'at, and then again in Tetzayin, Metasher Chata Min HaKodesh. So there the word Chet appears by the Mi'ilah. It also appears, Ube Truma. By Truma you also have a similar idea, which is in Parshat Emor, in Pasuk Tet, it says, V'shamru et mishmarti, V'lo yisav alav Chet, U'meitu vo ki yichaluluhu, Ani Hashem mikodesham. You already saw this in the Gemara in Zevachim, that this is a reference to issues of Truma, and the fiyuv of mitah bidei shamayim that's associated with eating truma when a person has tumat aguf. And there it says, v'lo yisa lav chet. So the word chet appears both by mi'ilah and by truma. And we have a gzer shavo of chet, chet, mitruma. And by truma, it's written, k'tiv, in Parshat Korach, where it tells us about all the matnot kuhuna. Over there in Bar Medrash Yudchet, Pasuk Chet, it says, V'yedaber Hashem Aharon, V'hineh hineh netati lechem et mishmeret shumotai, V'chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, D'chanatetiv l'mashchol v'nechacha kolam. So there where you have b'nei Yisrael, below Ovdei Kochavim. So here you have a limud from Truma. By Truma, you have an exclusivity whereby Truma only has application by b'nei Yisrael. How far that goes as to whether the Truma B'goy is completely null and void, it doesn't have any bearing or meaning whatsoever. Whether the Truma B'goy might take effect but not have the Kedusha or have the impact like the Truma of Israel, that's subject to Machloket between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But nevertheless, we see that there's a limitation by Truma that it only applies to B'nai Israel, not to an Ovei Kochavim. And through the Gzer Shavar of Chet Chet, we apply that from Truma to Mi'ilah. And by Mi'ilah, we say that's exclusively with regards to Kodoshim of Bnei Israel, and not with the Kodoshim of a Ovei Kochavim. Ve'en chayv ne'aleh mishum pigul notar v'tamei. We saw already that the din with regards to pigul notar and tamei is that the goys, Ovei Kochavim's Kodoshim, are not subject to pigul notar v'tamei. How do we know that's the case? So we first quote a pasuk from Parshat Emor once again. In Parshat Emor, Pasuk Bet, over there in the beginning it says, Daber el Aron ve'el benav, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yichalu et shem kodshi, Hashem makdishim li, ani Hashem. And that is a reference to Tum'ah and Tum'ata Korbanot. And over there it says, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. So you see that, v'inazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, v'lachu et shem kodshi, v'alif, notar, chilul, chilul, mituma. And then from this pasuk of v'lo yichalu et shem kodshi, we have the word chilul that appears here, and we also have the word chilul that appears by notar. Tichtev gabi tuma, which is the pasuk we just quoted, b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalu. Uchtev gabi notar, in Parshat Kiddushim with regards to Notar, it says over there, so that's the Zerah Shava of Chilel. And then we have the Vayalif Pigol, Avon Avon Minotar. And then from that Pasuk, we have Ochlav Avono Yisa, Kiyat Kodesh Hashem Chilel. So the Chilel is connecting us to the Tuma in Parshat Emor. And the Avono in that Pasuk is connecting us back to Vayikra Zion in Parshat Tzav. In Pasuk Yudchet, it says, V'im achol ye'achel mi'besar zivach shlama v'yom ha'shlishi lo yeretzeh, ha'meikriv oto lo yechashiv lo, pigul yeh, v'nefesh achelet mimenu avona tisa. So there again, you have the word avon. That's avon, avon minotar. And so you have the double gzeirah shavah, the first gzeirah shavah connecting the tum'ah to the notar, the second gzeirah shavah connecting from the notar to the pigul. And then about all of these, it says, V'chulu b'nei Yisrael b'lo'el aron v'el b'navi nazru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. So only things that are associated with b'nei Yisrael have this din by tuma. Similarly, from the gzeir shava of chilul, that's also true by notar. And then the gzeir shava of avon, from notar to pigul, teaches that also pigul is uniquely associated with b'nei Yisrael. So that teaches us the first two dinim that we saw in the Braita, the first of which was that there's no din of mi'ilah de oraita by the kodoshim of a ovei kochavim, and number two is pigul notar v'tameh, which are really a threesome that come together, don't have application by the kodoshim of an ovei kochavim. So in both of these cases, we have gzirat shavot that bring the bnei Yisrael exclusively being shayach in these halachot. Ve'ein osim t'mura. What about Tmura, which is the topic that we're dealing with over here? How do we know that there's no Tmura? Dechtiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oto, which is the psukim that are found in Perchav Zayin, Pasuk Yud, that tells us about the Isur of Tmura. And then the header, Uchtiv Bereshinyan, the beginning of that Parshia, which deals with Arachin, starts out, Vayidaber Shem Moshe Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael. V'amart Aleihem Ish Ki Afli Neder Berkechan Nifashot Da'ashem. The opening pasuk, which is the header for the entire series in Vayikachav Zayin, starts out as Daber El Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, we have the Bnei Yisrael being uniquely associated with Tmura and not an Ovei Kochavim. That gives us all the dinim that we found in the Braita. It explains to us, or gives us the source for the fact that they're uniquely associated with Bnei Yisrael. Lishna Achrina, Ve'en Osim Tmura, Maitaima. That's because there's a hekesh between Tmura and Maaser. We discussed this in the introduction yesterday, that there are two psukim that are found in Perchav Zayin, the first of which is, Lo yachlifenu v'yomir oto tov v'ra ura b'tov, v'yamamer yamir b'hema b'hema v'yahu tmurato yekodesh. Later on in Vayikachav Zayin, embedded in the halachot of Maaser b'hema, there in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, Lo yivaker ben tov v'ra v'lo yimirenu. And the Gemara is going to ask, why do you need a specific tmura by Maaser Behema? What's the uniquely associated with Maaser Behema that you wouldn't have learned from the other items? Or lama yatsa min haklal? Why did it leave the klal? So there we see that itkish tmurat behema the Maaser Behema. Umaaser Behema the Maaser Dagan. We also know that there's a correlation between Maaser Behema to Maaser Dagan, which is aser taser. B'shtei masrot ha-katuv medaber, echad maser dagan, v'echad maser behema, v'gavei maser dagan tiv, and by maser dagan, it's written again in Parshat Korach, with regards to the matnot kihuna, it says there in Pasuk Chavdalet, ket masar b'nei Yisrael, asher yirimu la'ashem, truma natati l'levim l'nachala, ken amarti lahem b'toch b'nei Yisrael l'inchalu nachala. So there you see the term b'nei Yisrael used. Now I'm saying, Bnei Yisrael is uniquely associated with Maaser Dagan. Hekesh from Maaser Dagan to Maaser Behema. So just like by Maaser Dagan, it is only Bnei Yisrael, so too by Maaser Behema. And by Maaser Behema, I have a Hekesh to Tmura. And just like Maaser Behema is only uniquely associated with Bnei Yisrael, so too Tmura will only be associated with Bnei Yisrael. So that's the limud here. The Gemara in Zvachim asked the question that you asked Josh, which is, how can you do this? This is a classic case of Hekesh, the Hekesh. You have Hekesh between Maaser Behema and Maaser Dagan. And that teaches you the first B'nai Yisrael from Maser Dagan to Maser Beima. And the second Hekesh, which is from Maser Beima to Tamura. So how can you have a double Hekesh in Kodoshim? We have a principle in Lamedim, Lamed min Alamed be Kodoshim. You can't have a double Hekesh by Kodoshim. The Gemara in Zvachim answers this in one of two ways. One way is to say that the original source here is Maser Dagan, and Maser Dagan is Chulin and not Kodoshim. So therefore, the first Hekesh is not a Hekesh in Kodoshim, because the source is that of Chulin. So the Gemara says, that's Anicha L'manda Amar, that goes well according to the one who says that the determining factor as to whether it's a Hekesh in Kodoshim or Chulin is the source and not the result. But according to the one who says that the result, the lima to which you are moving it, is what determines, then if you say Maiser Behema, you have Kodoshim. There the Gemara then gives an alternate answer and says, by Maiser Behema itself, you know that it's not relevant to a goy, because a Maiser Behema is a chuva shekavula azman. It's a chuva that has a particular time when you have to bring it, and Uvdei Kochavim only have permission to bring Kodoshim that are associated with Neder and Nidava. And so therefore, by definition, an Ovei Kochavim is precluded from Maiser Behema. You don't even need Maiser Dagan. And then Maiser Behema has a single Hekesh to Tmura. And from that, we can learn that the Ovei Kochavim has no Shayachut by Tmura, because just like Maiser Behema has no Shayachut, so too by Tmura, he doesn't have any Shayachut. All right. So then the Gemara says, Ve'ein mevi nisachim, aval korbanot o'un nisachim divi Rabbi Shimon. He does not bring nisachim. That is, as Rashi noted yesterday, Balei Tosafot noted yesterday, that is, he does not bring nisachim independently. He does not bring nisachim. But his korban requires nisachim. Over here, yesterday we noted Rashi brings two girsaot in yesterday's Gemara, and in today's Gemara he explains the Gemara according to both girsaot. And that is that once they determine that there are no nisachim from an Ovei Kochavim, how far reaching is that statement? Does that mean that the Ovei Kochavim doesn't bring nisachim at all, and we don't accept it for him, not when he brings it independent of a korban, and not when he brings it with a korban? And the only nisachim, which the Gemara here is saying, that have to be brought with this korban are donated by the tzibur, or the tzibur provides those nisachim. Or the other possibility is to say that an Ovei Kochavim cannot bring a donation of a nisachim independently, but he does bring it along with his korban, and if he brings it with his korban, we're going to accept it. On the other hand, if he doesn't bring it, then the tzibur will step up and bring the nisachim on behalf of this goy, or because the korban requires nisachim. So those two girsaot Rashi brought in yesterday's daf with regards to the Braita, and over here he also explains the Gemara upcoming in that manner according to both of those, as to whether the nisachim means that the nisachim that are brought here can be brought by the Ovei Kochavim, just if he doesn't bring it, the tzibur steps in, or is it that he's completely precluded from the din of nisachim? And that might depend on which pasuk you use as the source over here. Manan emile. How do we know this is the case? The Tan Rabbanan, Ezrach. So the quoting from Parshat Shlach, right after the Chet HaMeraglim, there's the Parshia of nisachim. And over there it says that in Ezrach is the one who has to bring it, and that's in pasuk Yud Gimel, called Ezrach Yaseh Kacha, et Eile, Lakrivi Sheriach Nicholach Lashem. So there the Ezrach is a mute. Ezrach mevi nisachim, ve'enu v'kochavim mevi nisachim. An Ezrach, a citizen, a person who's part of Klal Yisrael, brings nisachim. Nobi kochavim cannot bring nisachim. Yochol lo te'e lo to tu'na nisachim. You would think that his korban does not require nisachim. Tamar lomar, kacha. Kacha, to tell you that there is some demand that you bring it, and it has to be this way. Kacha, in the sense of a mute, to say that it must be done this way without any change. And so now the word kacha does appear a number of times in that parshia, and the question might be, which kacha are you referring to? In the pasuk that we just quoted, the word kacha appears. It also appears early on in the parshia, where it says, kacha yaseh l'shor echad, o l'ayla echad, o l'sek l'vazim, o b'izim. And so that kacha, depending on which kacha you use, might be influential in determining whether the kacha is an ikuva that's associated with the gabra, or is the kacha an ikuva that's associated with the korban. So if you say it's the kol ezrach yaseh kacha et ela lakrivi sheriach nichosh l'shem, they both the ezrach, which is a miut for Ovei Kochavim, and the kacha found in the same pasuk, seems to be speaking to the gabra, the individual themselves, that has to bring the korban. And therefore we say the ezrach is the only one who brings it, not the Ovid Kochavim. But Kacha comes to say that if it's brought along with his korban, that is permissible. On the other hand, the Kacha that is found earlier in the Parshia, which is Kacha Yaseh L'Shor Echad, or K'mispar Shetasu, Kacha Tasu L'Echad K'misparam, is a reference to the korban, which would say that the korban has an obligation of Nisachim, but it's not necessarily associated with the Ovid Kochavim. And that means that the Tzibur has got to step up and bring the korban. So actually, which Kacha you use might be influential as to what the girsa is with regards to what you bring, and you can see this in Rashi, where he says, Kacha Yikuvo, Devai Tunim Nisachim Umishel Tzibur. That they have to have Nisachim, but that's all brought from the Tzibur. And then he brings a Lishna Achrina, Dichtib Sfarim, he's referencing back to yesterday's daf, where he brought both girsa out. And he says that, Vadai Korbanot on Nisachim Afilu Mishalo. The Mekablim Inei, Demei Nisachim. We accept from him monies to pay for Nisachim, or the donation of Nisachim. He doesn't bring it, then we need to bring it on his behalf. But he is allowed to bring the korban, the nisachim, as long as it's associated with the korban, and it's not independent. So those are the two ways to read this part of the Gemara. Then Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi, Ro'e ani b'kulan nehachmir. Rav Yossi disagreed and said, with regards to all of these items, that I think that you go to Chumrah, which means I disagree with all of these items. My taima. What's the reasoning of Rav Yossi where he would disagree? All of these seem to be pretty good proof texts for the fact that that is the case. So he says that's because the pasuk, the original pasuk that we used in quoting over here, in Parshat Emor, pasuk Yudchet, says, Daber Aron, Vel Banav, Vel Kol Bnei Yisrael, Matalem, Ish Ish, Mibet Yisrael, Min Ager, B'Yisrael, Ashi Yakriv, Korbano, L'chol Nidrehem, L'chol Nidvotam, Ashi Yakrivu, L'Hashem, Le'ola. So the pasuk of Ish Ish, which is inclusive of an Ovid Kochavim, has the word Lashem found in there, which is Lashem Le'ola. So that tells us that Lashem is a riboy to say that they have the same status as any other Kodoshim. That's what Rashi says over here, that the Pasuk of Ish Ish Mibnei Yisrael, and at the end of the Pasuk it says Lashem, tells you the Dainin Le'vit Torat Shar Kodoshim, that it gets the din of any other Kodesh or any other Kodoshim, which means that they have Mi'ilah with them, and you have Chiyuv of Pigul, Notar, Vitameh, although it's not clear here, it doesn't seem like Rabbi Yossi disagrees with regards to Nisachim, but with regards to Tmurah, it seems that he does disagree and says that there would be Tmurah associated with the Korban of an Oved Kochavim. So the Gemara says, and the last line in the Braita was, yesterday we saw Machloket between Rashi and the Balei Tosafot as to whether that Rabbi Shimon's statement, it's a continuation, that's what Rashi says, a continuation of Rabbi Shimon's statement qualifying his din, that's only true b'kodshei mizbeach, about kodshei perek habayit mo'alin b'hem, there is mi'ilah. The other hand, the Ri said that it was a reference to Rabbi Yossi's statement, the way that we have it in our Balei Tosafot, then Rabbi Yossi's statement is referencing to Rabbi Yehuda and saying that even Rabbi Yehuda only says this with regards to Kodshei Mizbeach, but by Kodshei Perek Habayit, he would agree with me, meaning that our Machloket is limited to Kodshei Mizbeach, but Kodshei Perek Habayit, we'd all agree that there is a problem of Mi'ilah. Others want to say that the Ri's understanding is that it's a reference to Rabbi Yossi, qualifying his own statement, and that means that Rabbi Shimon thinks that it's true both by Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Perek Habayit, which is a much harder way to go. But nevertheless, you have this statement here that limits it to Kodshei Mizbeach and not Kodshei Perek Habayit. My taima. Why would you ever do that? Why would you say that Kodshei Mizbeach, which have a higher level of Kedusha, are not subject to Mi'ilah? Whereas Kodshei Perek Habayit, which are a lower level of Kedusha, why would it be that they are not subject to Mi'ilah? It seems almost like a Koshukain. Where it says, the Chigamrina Mi'ilah, Chet Chet Mitruma, Dumia de Truma, the Kadosh Kedusha Taguf. So when we learn mi'ilah chet chet mitruma, then we learn it dumya de truma. It has to be similar to truma. That truma is kadosh kedushat ha guf. So the reference or the gzeru shava is limited to items that have kedushat ha guf, which means that mi'ilah, which we learned from truma, which is limited to Bnei Yisrael, that will only be true with things that are similar to truma. And that means truma that has kedushat haguf, so too items that are subject to mi'ilah that have kedushat haguf, they are limited to Bnei Yisrael. But other things that don't have kedushat haguf don't have that limitation because they don't fit into the gzeirah shava of truma, and therefore they are subject to mi'ilah. So it actually turns out to be somewhat counterintuitive, which is that kodshei mizbeach do not have mi'ilah midoraita according to this, because of the gzer shav of chet chet mitrumah, and therefore they're only subject to mi'ilah midrabanan. Now then, kodshei berek habayit are subject to the din of mi'ilah, even though they're a lower form of kedusha. In explaining this, there are those that want to suggest that the difference has to do with the goy or the Oved Kochavim's association with the actual Kodesh, or that which is associated with the Mizbeach, versus that which is associated with Berek HaBayit. That is, when the Korban is brought on the Mizbeach, the Korban remains the Korban of the Baalim. And therefore, the shame of the Oved Kochavim is still associated with the Korban, even after he's makdish it, even after he brings it up to the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's subject to this limitation that there's no Milad De'oraita. On the other hand, when someone is makdish something to Berek HaBayit, they're no longer Baalim over whatever they're giving. It goes into a pool of resources that are used for Berek HaBayit. We don't associate it with any particular individual. And actually, Chazal tried to avoid that, that they didn't allow for such types of donations. They really wanted the donations to go into a pool whereby nobody could claim that it was theirs in particular, but rather it came from the Tzibur as a whole. In that way, then, the Goy becomes almost anonymous inside of Berek HaBayit. And therefore, maybe he's subject to Mi'ilah because it's just pooled with all the other resources of Berek HaBayit. And therefore, it would be subject to Mi'ilah. Baal Tosfot asks a very basic question, which is, this Gezer Shava of Chet Chet Mitruma is used extensively with regards to many drashot that we make with regards to Mi'ilah versus Truma, limitations, all sorts of halachot that are passed back and forth. And nowhere else does the Gemara say that it's limited to Kodshei Mizbeach, and doesn't have application by Kodshek Berek HaBayit. And the Tosafot are puzzled by this. How come? Any drasha that we learn from Truma, I don't know again by Kodshek Berek HaBayit. They shouldn't have application by Kodshek Berek HaBayit. Because Truma is limited to Kedushat HaGuf, and then anything that's learned from it should have that same limitation. The reason that we exclude Kodshek Berek HaBayit here is Haini Mishum Dechtiv Hacha LaHashem. Because the word Hashem is used over here, and that Hashem is exclusively associated with Kodshei Mizbeach. And that's why we have somewhat of a limitation over here, which is that we have an additional item pushing us in that direction to say Hashem is referenced, or that the Ovdei Kochavim are included from Hashem. That's only true by Kodshei Mizbeach. So it's not simply the fact that Truma is Kedushat HaGuf, and therefore also, Mi'ilah is only Kedushat HaGuf. It's the combination of that, together with the fact that we find that the riboy that Rabbi Yossi has for Lashem by Kodshei Mizbeach is because of the Lashem. And so that tells you that all these dinim are really associated with Kodshei Mizbeach. And since I don't have a riboy for Kodshei Berek HaBayit, that means it's going to be limited to Kodshei Hashem or Kodshei Mizbeach. So those are the two ways to formulate why you would have somewhat of a counterintuitive approach over here to the issue as to why Kodshei Mizbeach don't have Mi'ilah, but Kodshei Berek HaBayit do have Mi'ilah. Alright, now Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol lo taseh shebetorah, asaba maseh chayav, lo asaba maseh patur. So we have a general principle, and it'll be fleshed out here in the Gemara in a second, but that whenever you have a lo taseh, a negative precept in the Torah, if you take an action to violate that lo taseh, then you are chayav, malkot. Lo asaba maseh, if it was done or you violated it passively, then patur, there is no malkot for that. V'gmar says, v'klaluhu, the lav shein bo maseh patur, is that really true? We have the classic exception to that. V'harei meimar, the lav shein bo maseh, so t'mura is something that has no maseh associated with it. V'laki, and you still get malkot. Our mishnah, the t'nan, lo shu rashay la'amir, not that you have permission to do t'mura, el shim heimir mumar, if you do it, you are successful at transferring the Kedusha and retaining the Kedusha on the old item and onto the new item. The Sofeget Arba'im. And then you get 40 Malkot. So then how could you give us a principle by which all things that are passive violations are not considered for Malkot? Over here we have an explicit Mishnah that says by Tmura that a passive violation results in Malkot. Tosfot over here says, Vim Tomar. Why do they bring Tmura as the classic example of something that is a lav shein bo maaseh that gets malkot? It says, what about parichoch inami motzi shemra, veidim zomamim? Both of those are lav shein bo maaseh, and they get malkot. So he tells what answer is a very interesting answer. He says, v'yesh lamar, the lo by the mifrach mehani. You don't have to ask questions for motzi shemra and from Edom Zomim, Dichtibahu Malkot B'Torah. Because they both have Malkot written explicitly with regards to their punishment. So we're not questioning that if the Torah tells you that some Lav Shein Bo Maisa gets Malkot, that it gets Malkot. That's fine. It gets Malkot in that case. Our real question, our real issue arises with regards to items that are just plain Lavim, plain negative precepts. And in being plain negative precepts, do they get Malkot or not? And then we have the principle of whether it's an action that's being taken over here that makes you chayav in Malkot, or it's a passive item. That may, true Tmura is a problem. Because by Tmura, we have no explicit mention of Malkot. It's a negative precept, and the Mishnah says you get Malkot for it. So that's what the question arises from Tmura over here. Then Tosavot goes on to discuss other ways to distinguish over here between Tmura and other items. That will become very important as we move to the second half of today's daf. Gemara is going to make some statements about Tmura, and the question is, why don't you extrapolate them to other areas where we have a lav shein bo maaseh? Tosavot over here gives reasons to be mechalek, and we'll add on an additional reason when we get to the second half of today's daf. Now the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rav, Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda, no problem. The author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Demar lav shein bo maaseh, lokein alav. Because he says that a lav shein bo maaseh, you don't get malkot. So the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. That's why you're getting malkot for Tmura. I'm talking mainstream. I'm telling you that whenever there's action, you get malkot. No action, you don't get malkot. This Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who says, lav shein bo maaseh, lokein alav. But we don't hold like that. Mar says, umi masid mukmak d'matnitan ki Rabbi Yehuda. How can you set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? V'hau kimta l'resha d'lo ki Rabbi Yehuda. Then we already established, based, saw the Gemara back, yesterday's daf, back in Arachin as well, that the Mishnah begins, the Tanya kol mimirim. And we asked, akol le'atuyeh mai, what is the akol over here coming to include? Le'atuyeh yoresh. That is to include someone who is a yoresh, that he has the right to be memir on an animal. Udalok Rabbi Yehuda. And we specified that that was not like Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, hai tana savalak avetei b'chado. Here, this Tana of our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah, holds like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to one matter, which is Lav Shein Bo Maaseh Lokein Alav, Upoligalei Bechadim, and he disagrees with his other opinion. Tehilu Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yoresh Enu Sumech Yoresh Enu Memir. So Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that a Yoresh doesn't have the right to do Smicha on the parents' Korban. He doesn't have a right to be Memir, the parents' Korban. But Tane Didan Savar, on the other hand, our author of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Meir, that Yoresh Sumech Yoresh Memir. That Yoresh has the right to do smicha, and he has the right to do tmura. So yes, it's not consistent within Rabbi Yehuda's position, but this is a different Tana. And this Tana likes Rabbi Yehuda's position with regards to Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. He doesn't agree with his position with regards to Yoresh. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yosi Galili, Kol Oseh Tzeh Shebetorah, Asah Bo Maaseh Lokeh, Lo Asah Bo Maaseh Patur. So this is basically the same statement that we just saw from Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Only here it's brought from the shame of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan brings it Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We've noted before, whenever it says something like that, Mishum, it means that that person never saw the individual it's coming from. He has that Bimisora, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili said it, but he didn't hear it directly from him. He never learned by him. He says the same thing, which is any lotus, any negative precept in the Torah, if you violate it actively, you get Malkot. You violate it passively, you don't get Malkot. Chutz, with the exception of these three items. Minishba l'sheker, someone who takes a shvat sheker b'shem Hashem, meimar tmura, umekalel et chaveiro b'shem, and someone who curses his friend using the shem Hashem. Afal pi shelo asa maaseh, in these three instances, even though you were passive in your violation, passive, not really passive, because you violated by saying something, but amira is not a maaseh, it's not an action, it's simply a verbalization of something. And there you are chayav. So in those three instances, these are exceptions to the rule. So the instead of saying that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who says that lav shein bo maaseh chayav elav, the Rabbi Yochanan deals with this, is to say that these three items are exceptions to the rule. And these three items have malkot despite the fact that they are passive. And the Gemara will ask, obviously, why is it that that is the case? Or why is it that these are the exceptions to the rule? And as I noted yesterday, the Rishonim point out the severity of these violations. You have Nishba, the Sheker, B'Shem Hashem, Mekalel, Chaveru, B'Shem, and you have Tmura, which tells you that the violation of Tmura is a lot more serious than we would have just thought. Oh, it's trying to exchange an animal. What's the big deal? That's what we spoke about in the introduction yesterday as to why Tmura is really so problematic. And it is a misguided view about Hekdesh and about Kodoshim that is very problematic. And that's why it's up there along with Nishba L'Sheker B'Shem Hashem and Mekalel Chaveru B'Shem. Mishom Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanin Amru Af HaMakdim Truma LeBikurim. That also taking off truma before bikurim is also a violation that will get you makot, even though it's something that would have been a passive violation. The question is, why is it that there's a problem for taking truma off of before bikurim? And that Tosafot quotes over here what the Gemara is going to say later on, which is mleatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher, and that mleatcha is bikurim. And therefore, Bikurim have to come before the Truma, and it says Lo Te'acher. So the Lo Te'acher says that there's a lav associated with it, and Tosafot brings in the Sifrei that there's an additional limud or a different limud, which is Kadmenu Bikurim Sheish Lem Davad Shemot. Bikurim have more names to them, more different descriptions of the Torah, therefore they have an elevated status and they should go first, versus Truma, which only has more limited number of names to it in the Torah. And therefore, Bikurim get precedence. That's what the view of the Sifrei. But either way, then there is a requirement that Bikurim go before Truma. Question is, do you get Malkot for that when you violate that? Now, Gemara asks, Nishba Minalan. How do you know that Nishba is something that is subject to Malkot, even though it's a lav Shein Bo Maaseh? Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Am Akra, the Pasuk says, Ki lo inake Hashem et asher isa et shemo lashav. Hashem will not forgive someone who takes his name in vain. Beitin shemalo ein menakinoto. The heavenly courts do not let him get off or do not cleanse him of this sin. Aval beitin shemata malkinoto umenakinoto. But the beitin shemata do have the rights or the means by which to free him or clear him of the problem. And that is that malkinoto umenakinoto. They get him malkot, and then he is let off the hook. So the kilo nikay Hashem is only with regards to Hashem, that there's no nikayon, or there's no ability to get out of the problem. But when it comes to that which is associated with Beit Din, there is malkot, amenakinoto, and it's a diok out of the fact that only Hashem doesn't allow for nikayon, but Beit Din Shalmata does allow for nikayon. Truth is that that's true by any Aveira, that if Beit Din Shalmata punishes, then the person is absolved of the problem. And if they're not punished by Beit Din Shalmata, then Beit Din Shalmata will take over or intercede in order to ensure the person is punished properly. So what you have to say here is that they're actually two separate tracks. There are two separate issues over here. There is an issue of a person's nemanut, which is the fact that when you take a shvuat sheker, a shvuat shav, you lose your believability with regards to shvuot. If Beit Din gives you malkot and the person does tshuva, then there'll be minakinoto, the person gains back his credibility with regards to Shavuot. On the other hand, with regards to the Chilul Hashem that's caused by Shavuot Shav, by Shavuot Sheker, that's something Chilonika Hashem. That's something that's not going to be cleansed and not going to be let go of so easily. That's something you have to deal with Beit Din Shamala, and you will have to pay the price for that. And just because you got Malkot, Beit Din Shamata is not going to clear you of that problem. So the problem is that the Shavuot Sheker, Shavuot Shav, involves multiple problems, some of which can be dealt with Beit Din Shamata, some of them have to be dealt with Beit Din Shamala, and those that have to be dealt with Beit Din Shamala cannot be cleared or cannot be absolved unless they are taken care of with the Beit Din Shamala, and Kiloi Nakeh Hashem Isad Shemo Lashav. Amalei Rav Popa Labaye, Veimelo Tavi Le Nikiyut Klal. Why do you make the diuk that, unlike in the heavens where Leino Keh Hashem, why don't you say down below, meaning in Beit Din, that they don't give Malkot, and they don't get any Nikayon whatsoever. They don't even attempt to give a Nikayon. So that could be the distinction between that which is Beit Din Shamala and the Beit Din Shamata. Beit Din Shamala will punish, but Lo Yinakeh, he will not be cleansed or cleared easily, and Beit Din Shamata will do nothing, and therefore he won't be cleansed at all. Zamalei, Im Kein Lichtov Kra, Lo Yinakeh. Then all the Pasuk has to say is, he'll never be absolved. The Lishtok. Then that doesn't have to continue. What does it mean? Ki lo yinakeh Hashem lomali. What's the extra Hashem teach you? Beit Din Shamala hu de minakinoto. Ava Beit Din Shamata malkin uminakinoto. Beit Din Shamala will not absolve him or cleanse him of the sin. But the Beit Din Shamata, at least with regards to the issues that are associated with what they can deal with, they will give malkot and they will be minakin oto. Gemara says, Ashkan Shvat Shav. You were speaking about Shvat Sheker as being one of the exceptions. Over here, all you dealt with was Shvat Shav. That's the posuk. Kilo Yinakeh Hashemet, Asher Yisa'et Shemo Lashav. So that's a Shvat Shav. Difference between a Shvat Sheker and a Shvat Shav, as the Gemara describes in Shvot, is that Shvat Shav is where you take a nether about something that's obviously incorrect. When you try to say a stone is a piece of gold, or that a piece of silver is a piece of gold. That's a Shvat Shav. Shvat Sheker is where it's possible that what you're saying could be right. It just happens to be that you're lying in this case, or you're not telling the truth. So the Gemara wants to know, Shvat Sheker, Minolan, how do we know that? Yochanan Didei Amar, Lashav, Lashav, Shnei Pe'amim. The word Lashav appears twice. The simple way to learn it, the way that Rashi learns it over here, is that it says in the Sukkim, Lo Tisa Hashem Elokecha Lashav, Ki Lo Nyakeh Hashem Et Asher Yisa Et Shmo Lashav. So there's the Shav appears twice in the Pasuk. Why does it appear twice? Emmanuel Inyan L'Shvat Shav, if you already dealt with Shvat Shav, why is there now Shvat Shav again? Emmanuel Inyan Shvat Sheker. That comes to teach you that it's a reference to the Shvat Sheker, and that is the Targum of the Mila Shav over there. In one place, he's Metargim it as Shav, and the other place he's Metargim it as Sheker. And so that teaches that one of the words of Shav over there is really a Sheker or Shvat Sheker because of Einu Inyan L'Shav, Tenehu Inyan L'Sheker. And therefore we now know that Shvat Sheker is Loket. It also gets Makot, just like a Shvat Shav. So Mat Kipla Rabbi Yabo, Shvat Sheker Hechidami. What exactly is the scenario of Shvat Sheker that you're getting Malkot for? Inema damar shlo ochal. Person says, I'm not going to eat. Ve'achal. And then he eats. Hatamu masse avod. Over there, he did an action. That's a active violation of the Shvua that you took. So of course you're going to get Malkot over there. It's not an exception to the rule. It's the rule itself. Elo damar sho achal. So he took a Shvua that he's going to eat it. Velo achal. How mi loki? Who says you get Malkot for something like that? Vaha itmar, don't we have the following statement? Shwa shokal kikar ze hayom. Person next day shwa that he'll eat this particular loaf of bread today. Vavarayom velo achal. And the day passes and he never ate it. I mean, he violated it passively. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakisham, Reyenu Loke. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that there is no Malkot over here. Rabbi Yochanan, Reyenu Loke, the Lav Shein Bo Masu. You don't get Malkot because it's a Lav Shein Bo Masu. And this is, again, Rabbi Yochanan is the author of all the position we've seen until now. And he's clearly saying that if you have a shvua in the future statement saying you will do something and then you don't do it, you don't get malkot for that. Lav shein bo maaseh ain lokin alav. He thinks that this is covered by lav shein bo maaseh and there is no malkot over here. And Rabbi Shlakish says that the reason you don't get malkot over here is because you can't get a proper hatra'a over here. Every hatra'a that you give is problematic and whole hatra'at safek ain lokin alav. When you have Hatrat Safek, you can't get Malkot. Hatrat Safek is when you give the warning, you're not certain that the warning is going to be heeded because the individual always has more time to do whatever it is that he's supposed to do. If you come to the individual and say, you took a Shvua to eat this, you're going to run out of time today. You better eat it. If you don't eat it, you're going to get Malkot. And the guy says, thank you very much. I have the rest of the day to eat it. And you can keep going this way as long as he's going through the day. As long as he keeps saying, I have more time to eat, then there's a tratz of fake because he still has more time. It's not definitive that he is in violation of this. If you get him way at the end of the day and there's no time left for him to eat it, then the tratz is not valuable because he didn't have any time to violate it after you gave the tratz. There is a moment in time, if you could get that exactly on the dot, which is that if you warn him with exactly the amount of time left that he could eat it, if he doesn't take the advantage of it, he would be in violation. That would be a tratz that's not a tratz of fake. But that is a very difficult pinpoint to get to, and therefore, in all likelihood, all Hatra is going to be Hatra Tzafek. So that's Reish Lakish's view as to why you don't get Malkot. But according to both of them, there is no Malkot in the case where you have a future Shvat Sheker that was premised on you doing some action, and you passively violated it. Ella, I'm Rebbe O, Teiba Chalti, Velo Achalti. Must be that the Shvat Sheker that we're speaking about here, which is a violation, is when you speak about the past, and you take a Shvat that you ate when you didn't eat, or you took a shvua that you didn't eat when you did eat. So now explain to me, why is it that we think that when you're speaking the past tense, the passive violation of the shvua, because you're taking the shvua after the action was taken or the inaction was taken, therefore by definition, you're talking about a passive violation. Over there, we say you still get malkot. Yet, when you say in the future, I will eat something, and you don't eat it, you don't get malkot. Why would you make such a distinction? So, Amar Rava beferush ribta Torah sheker domer leshav. That's because of the structure of how we know that a shvat sheker is chayav in malkot. We already established that a shvat shav gets it because of ki lo nyakeh Hashem et asher yitzah et shmo leshav, but we also know that from there we learned out also sheker. That hekesh between sheker and shav teaches us mashav l'shavar, just like shav is always in the past tense. Because by definition, whatever item you're speaking about in the past was not whatever you were saying. That's the problem with shav. You're saying that this rock is a piece of gold. Well, it was always a rock all the way along. That's why what you're saying is shav, because its existence or its presence was always there as a stone. So by definition, a shav is always about something in the past. Av sheker l'shavar. So too, the sheker that you're going to be chayav malkot for has got to be something in the past tense. Eitvei Rabbi Yirmiya the Rabbi Abo. So now Rabbi Yirmiya challenged Rabbi Abo and says, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zo. Person takes a shvua that he will not eat such a kikar. Shvua shelo ochlena. And then you say, I take a shvua that I will not eat it. Shvua shelo ochlena. And then you say again a shvua that I will not eat it. Vachala. In the end, you do eat it. Enu chayav ela achat. You only chayav one malkot for this. Now, there are a number of factors here. The Gemara in Shvua breaks this down further, and obviously we're not going to deal with it here. It's not our topic. They're bringing it from the outside just to question the assumptions we're making here. But the question as to why you have three Shvuot over here. So, the Gemara in Shvuot discusses the fact that if you are Matir Shvua, if you undermine one of the Shvuot, the other Shvuot don't disappear when they were not Chal. They're called Poreach Bavir. They wait around to see if they can be chal at some point. That means that if you were somehow able to undermine the first shvua, the second and third shvua would take effect, or the second shvua is taken out, then the third shvua would take effect. The reason the second and third shvua right now don't take effect is because ain't shvua chal al shvua. You can't take a shvua on something that already exists, same way that you can't take a shvua on something that was misinai, because you're bound by the laws of the Torah in a shvua. Therefore, you can't take a shvua against the laws of the Torah. So similarly, if you take a shvua, which you're now bound by, Torah prescription that you have to carry out that shvua, then you can't take another shvua on top of it, or not to do something, because you're saying, ain't shvua chal al shvua. Now, Tosafot points out the order here is important, because the word shvua shelo ochlena means that I will not eat the whole thing. Whereas shvua shelo ochal mikikarzu means I won't eat a portion of it. Had you done it in reverse and said shvua shelo ochlena first, that would mean I will not eat the whole bread or loaf of bread here. Then when you took the next nether and said shlolo chal kikarzo, that would be even a portion of it. That would be a different shvua, more detailed than the first shvua, and it would be chal on the first shvua, because the first shvua only restricted you against eating the whole loaf. This would restrict you against eating less of the, even smaller portions of the loaf. So that's why it's in the particular order that we have here, as well as the fact that it's done a number of times to show you that if you release one of the shvuot, the other shvuot will take effect. But now we see from here, we see about this, this is your classic shvuat bitui, in which you're going to get malkot if you violate it, and where you'll get, if you violate it b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban olevi oreit. This is one of the korbanot, olevi oreit is for a shvuat bitui. So Gemara says, Zoi lemutei mai. What does it mean? This is your quintessential shvuat bitui that results in malkot and a korban. My love, lemutei achalti velo achalti, dololoki. Doesn't it seem to be coming along to tell you that when it comes to achalti velo achalti, you won't get malkot? No. Gemara says, no. Zoi dal shigigata maiti korban. Only on this do you bring a korban. Aval achalti velo achalti, lo maiti korban. When it comes to, when you're speaking about the past tense, then you don't bring a korban on it. You will get malkot, but you will not bring a korban if it was done b'shogeg umani. And then who's the author of that position in this part of the braita? Rabbi Shmoli, damar einu chayav ela ha'atid lavo. Because the pasuk says, lehara uleitiv. The pasuk in Vayikra, when speaking about the korban olevi oreid and taking the shvat bitui, says, lehara uleitiv means to do good or to do bad. Good and bad means to violate it actively. You say you're going to do something, and you don't do it, or you say you're not going to do something and you do do it. That's not really tea, but it's all in the future tense. That tells you that the parshia of Korban Olei V'Yoreid for Shvat Bitui only has a future association with it. Korbanot are not brought on things for the past tense. Aval, Milka Loki. But as we said, you are going to get Malkot for it. So in that way, it doesn't undermine Rabbi Abbo's position here that Achalti v'lo Achalti will result in Malkot. The only thing the Braita is saying is that B'shogeg, they won't bring a Korban. That's because of Rabbi Shmuel's Limud, that's Aralu Etiv, it only has application Korbanot to the future. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half of this? Zohi Shvat Shav, Shechavina Zduna Makot, Vashigigata Patur. This is a classic case of Shvat Shav, that you will get, if you do violate it intentionally, you'll get Makot. If you violate it unintentionally, you'll be Patur from Korban. There's no Korban for Shvat Shav. There's only a Korban for a Shvat Sheker. Zohi the Mutemai. Once again, when you say this is a Shvat Shav, what does that come to include? My lovely mute achalti velo achalti velo loki. Once again, don't you think it is saying that a shvat shav gets malkot, but achalti velo achalti will not get malkot? I says lo. Zoe dashigigata patur mi korban. This is the item that when it comes to a shogeg, you will not bring a korban on a shvat shav. Aval achalti velo achalti mighty korban. But as if you're in violation of a shogeg of achalti velo achalti, then you will bring a korban olive yored. Umani, and who's the author of this latter part of the Braita? Rabbi Akivai, Tamar Mevin Korban L'Sha'avar. He has a reboy that tells you not only by the Ra'u Leitiv, in future you bring a Korban for a violation of Shogeg, but even in the past, you bring a Korban for a violation. Va'amart Reisha Rabbi Shmuel. Wait a minute, didn't you just say the Reisha was Rabbi Shmuel? How can you make the Seifa Rabbi Akiva? Element is Seifa Rabbi Akiva, Reisha Nami Rabbi Akiva. If the latter half of the Braita is clearly Rabbi Akiva, the first half of the bite is also going to be Rabbi Akiva. Reisha, lavli mute achalti v'lo achalti. And still, we're not going to say that the Reisha comes to exclude achalti v'lo achalti. Ele mute ochal v'lo achal. But it comes to exclude the case where you say, I'm going to eat it, and you don't eat it. So then, here, what he's suggesting is that by korbanot shogeg, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have now a din that if you have a shvuat bitui, where you say, I'm not going to eat something, and you do eat it, that is an act of violation in the future. You're going to bring a korban shogeg for that. If you do achalti and lo achalti, you're also going to bring a korban bishogeg. That's a diok out of the latter half of the Braita, where it said, this is a classic case of shvat shav, and that shvat shav doesn't have a korban bishogeg, but achalti and lo achalti do have a korban bishogeg. But then, what is the case in the Reisha where it says, this you bring korban bishogeg, something else you don't? That something else is the case. When you say, ochal, I'm going to eat something, velo achal, and you didn't eat it. In that case, you're not going to bring a korban bishogeg. And the Gemara wants to know, umayishna, why would you make such a distinction? The way Rashi reads the question is, why would you say to include achalti velo achalti bishogeg for a korban? And why would you say by the case of ochal, that I will eat, and lo achal, and you didn't eat, that you don't have to bring a korban bishogeg? Why would you ever make such a distinction? And the Gemara answer is, Mishom, the Koyi b'l'haba, m'mayit l'haba. Koyi b'l'haba, m'mayit l'shavar. The first half of the Braita is speaking about a future statement of a Shvua. In the first case there, he says, Shalo achal, I will not eat something. Be'achal, and he does eat it, he brings a korban b'shogeg. But that's about a future statement, a future Shvua. And then we're going to exclude something. Well, we're going to exclude something that's similar. What's similar to that? Another case of a l'haba, another case of a future Shvua. It would be a case when you say, achal, I will eat it, velo achal, and then you did not eat it. That's going to be excluded. And that's the case where you're not going to bring a korban bishogeg. But it doesn't make sense to say, oh, the case in the Braita is, in a case where you say, lo achal, and you ate it, you have to bring a korban bishogeg. But achal, velo achal, where you're not going to bring a korban bishogeg. So that's why Rashi reads the Mishnah. If you look in the Balei Tosafot, the Ri does not like that explanation of the Mishnah. And he says that the Mishnah is this. Mishnah de Mefaresh like Rabbi Akiva, look like Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara makes an assumption, oh, the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, therefore the Reisha is Rabbi Akiva, and they explain the whole Braita according to Rabbi Akiva. Why don't you do just the opposite? Say that the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, therefore the Seifa is Rabbi Shmuel. And then look and set up the whole thing like Rabbi Shmuel. And explain that the Reisha is the Me'ute Achalti below Achalti Mikorban, and the Seifa is the Mute Ochal V'lo Achal Mimalkot. And the Tosafot in Shavuot actually says even better. Why don't you say everything is the Mute Achalti V'lo Achalti, and the Reisha is the Mimayit Achalti V'lo Achalti Mi Korban, like the view of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa is to be Mimayit the Achalti V'lo Achalti Mimalkot. The answer to that question is that it won't work, because if you set up Rabbi Shmuel, then you're going to have to say the Reisha comes to Mimayit Achalti V'lo Achalti Mi Korban. The Reisha comes to tell you that Achalti and Lo Achalti do not bring a Korban Bishogeg. And the seifa is going to be ma'ayit ochal v'lo achal. He says, I'm going to eat it, and he doesn't eat it, then you don't get malkot. And the Gemara says that setup doesn't work well, because then you're going to have the ratio, which is talking about in the haba case, is excluding something in the avar, and then the seifa, which is a navar case, is excluding something that's the haba. So setting it up like Rabbi Shmuel across the board is not logical. It makes more sense to set it up like Rabbi Akiva, and the reason we're going to set it up like Rabbi Akiva is because then the miutin match up with the future statement is mimayit something from the future, and the past statement is mimayit something from the past. In addition, the Tosafot in Shvot says that it's mistavra to make it like Rabbi Akiva because it's a Mishnah, and we have the principle in general that the kulu stame kavate. And since this is a stam Mishnah, it would make sense that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the position rather than Rabbi Yishmael. And that's why it makes more sense to set up like Rabbi Akiva than Rabbi Yishmael. And he does not like Rashi's explanation because he says, according to Rashi, the question here is really a question on Rabbi Yochanan. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you flip the positions around, this whole Mishnah is going to be a question on his view. So of course he's going to learn it this way. And then why is the Gemara asking Mishna? We already explained why Rabbi Yochanan thinks this. And this is the way that Rabbi Yochanan would explain it in order to protect his position that when it comes to Alav Shein Bo Maaseh, Ein Lokin Alav, but by Shvuat Sheker, you are Lokin Alav. So Rashi's explanation of Mishna doesn't really make so much sense. And therefore they believe that the question is really about having the author be Rabbi Akiva rather than be Rabbi Yishmael. Now, both according to Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot over here, as well as the Rabbeinu Gershom, there's a very big problem, and that is both of them say that the miut from the Seifa of Achalti v'lo Achalti is to tell you that there is a korban by Achalti v'lo Achalti, like Rabbi Akiva, and the Reisha is mimayit ochal v'lo achal from a korban. The problem with that, and it's pointed out by the Rashash, it's pointed out by the Sfat Emet over here, is that first of all, the Gemara in Shavuot explicitly says otherwise, but also it's obvious from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says the Hara Oleitiv. That means a Korban Olev Yoreid applies whether you do Lo Ochal and then you're Ochel, or whether you do Ochal Velo Achal. That's the classic case of Hara Oleitiv, and everybody agrees you bring a Korban in that case. And therefore they make the point, and the Gemara in Shavuot is explicit about this. It says, "V'reisha lab l'mute achalti v'lo achalti mikorban, el l'mute ochal v'lo achal mimalkot." It's going to tell you there's no malkot by the case of ochal v'lo achal in the reisha, like we saw from Rabbi Yochanan, that it's a problem of alav shein bo maaseh. According to Reish Lakish, it's a problem of hatrat safek, and there's no malkot in that case. But korban, you are chayav because that's the ra ul eitiv, and then in the seifa, I'm coming to teach you that you're mirabe achalti v'lo achalti to a korban, like Rabbi Akiva, and then that would be like Rabbi Yochanan in the end, because we exclude Ochal v'lo Achal from Malkot, but as far as Achalti v'lo Achalti, there you would get Malkot. And that would be supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's contention that Shvuat Sheker is an exception to the rule, by which, even though it's a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, you get Malkot, but it's certainly not coming to tell you that by the case of Ochal v'lo Achal, that you don't bring a Korban, which is a Pasuk Mifurash in the Torah. Now, Umeymar, one of the things that we saw that when you have a lav shein bo maaseh, you get malkot for, we just dealt with nishba b'shem Hashem, the sheker or the shav. Then the next thing that's mentioned by Rabbi Yochanan is meymar, is t'mura. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana, lon titnei umeymar. Rabbi Yochanan says to the Tana, the person who was staying over the Braita or staying over this memra, don't include meymar in there. Mishum debi diburo asa maaseh. Because the dibur is a maaseh. So now, this creates a huge problem, because now, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that dibur is asa maaseh, that the diburo, he did an action with it. You would have thought to say that means akimat sfotav. The moving of his lips is a maaseh, and therefore all dibur should be a maaseh. But if you look very carefully at the language that Rabbi Yochanan uses, that's not what he's saying, and this is what I mentioned to you in the Balei Tosafot in the Amud Aleph, that motzi shemra, edim zomamim, even though they're all through dibur, also shvat sheker, also, Mikalel, all of those are through Dibur. If Rabbi Yochanan believes that Dibur is a Maiseh, they should all have been included from that, and you wouldn't need a reboy from anywhere else, you wouldn't need an explanation from anywhere else. But if you look carefully, the way Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum Diburo Asa Maaseh, the difference by Tmura is that your words create a transformation that is now in effect, which is that if you do Tmura, now you've changed the status of an animal from Chulin to Kodesh. That's a maisa. That's an action. You actually change the status of the animal. By the other cases of dibur, you're not changing the status of the item. You're simply making a statement. That statement has no impact. It's problematic because of what the statement is, but the statement has no impact. Tmurah is unusual in the fact that the statement has impact. And the fact that the statement has impact makes it as if the dibur is a maisa, because his dibur results in a maisa. And that's why tmurah would be different than all the other lav she'im bo maaseh. Now, makalel et chaveru b'shem, which was the last of those that we mentioned, that are the exception to the rule where lav she'im bo maaseh gets makot, minolan, how do we know that's the case there? Amar b'lazar, amar b'oshaya, amar kra. Pasuk says in the Tochacha and Dvarim Kavchet, says there in Pasuk Nun Chet, im lo tishmor lasot, er kol tivrei ha-Torah zot, oktuvim b'sefer zeh, diura et Hashem ha-nichbad v'anora zeh, et Hashem elokecha. Then what's going to happen? V'ifla Hashem et makotcha, et makot zarecha, makot gidolot v'nemanot, v'chalayim ra'im v'nemanim. So the Gemara says about that, what is the hifla? Hafla zo, en yodea mahu. I don't know what this hafla is. Shomer, v'ipilo ha-shofet, it says they're giving makot by beitin, it says v'ipilo ha-shofet, v'ikol lefanav, and it gives a makot, v'imer hafla zo makot. That the word hipilo and the word vifla Hashem et makotcha, those are synonymous or associated with each other. Therefore, what we're talking about here is malkot. Idea being that im lo tishma lasot et kol divrei haTorah zot, oktuvim b'sefer zeh, liyirat Hashem anichbad, to have fear of Hashem's name, v'anora zeh et Hashem elokecha, the way that you treat the Shem Hashem. If you misuse the Shem Hashem, then the resultant punishment is vifla Hashem et makotcha, that you're going to get malkot. So that would be the source for the fact that a person who is mikalel b'shem is chayav malkot. As Rashi notes over here, the limud is the following, which is that now we've established that misusing or misappropriating the Shem Hashem is problematic. That's because you have to be liyirat Hashem anichbad v'nora zet Hashem lokecha. It's a requirement to fear Hashem and to only use Shem Hashem properly. That means you should be fearful of saying the Shem Hashem livatala. And by definition, a mekalel et chavero, anybody who curses his friend with the Shem Hashem, is motzi the Shem Hashem levatala. And so that's why you would get malkot over here when you were mekalel b'shem. The Gemara asks about that. Emar afilu shvat emet. If that's the case, it seems to be that anytime you use the Shem Hashem, that you're going to be in violation of this isur. If that's the case, then you should get malkot even when you take a shvuah that is truthful. Even when it's not a shvat sheker, even when it's a statement that is true. But it says, shvat emet, adjective. That explicitly the Torah condones, because it says in Parshat Mishpatim, shvat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, that you had to take a shvuah between the litigants in order to be patur from payment. But it says, Amar, this is a very difficult and unusual havamina. He says, but it says, Amar, ani mila lefayeset chavero. He does the shvuah, he takes the shvuah in order to appease his friend, to placate his friend that he doesn't really owe him the money. Aval milke lelke. But when it comes to malkot, he would still get malkot. The Torah says, take the shvuah to placate the individual, but you're going to get malkot for taking the shvuah. It says, lo matzi tamart. You can't say that, aktiv. Because it says in Dvarim Vav, et Hashem lokecha tira, votot avot, ubishmo tishaveya. So that you are given, granted permission that you should take a shvuah, B'shem Hashem. Or it says, Hal mi bayile likid rav. No, that's not to tell you that you should take a shvuat emet. That's for Rav. Damar agvilo amar Rav. Inayin shenishbayim lekayim et ha-mitzvot. How do you know that you take a shvuat to keep mitzvot? Shenamar, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Nishpati v'kayimah lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. That I took a shvuat in order to uphold your righteous laws. So that teaches you that you're allowed to take a shvuat to lekayim et ha-mitzvah. Even though you're already bound, Mihar Sinai, to do the mitzvah, we still condone, or we still say that a person should take a shvuah to be mizarez himself to do the mitzvah. So that he makes sure that he does it, that it helps him to stay on track and to do the mitzvah. We condone such shvuot. But that would be maybe the exception to the case where you're allowed to take a shvuah. But a shvuah temet might be subject to malkot. It says, aktiv krach, you know? We have the other pasuk says, later on in Dvarim, in Perek Yud, it says, Hashem lokecha tira, oto tavod, obo tidbak, ubishmo tishaveya. So you see, ubishmo tishaveya appears again, and therefore we have one ubishmo tishaveya to teach you, like what Rav suggests over here, that nishbaim nekayim etam mitzvot. And then you have another ubushmot ishaveya to teach you that you're allowed to take shvat emet. So that there is a ability to take a shvat emet. Over here you have a machloket in the rishonim as to what that means. The Rambam over here has a very unusual view. He has a unique view in this. And that he says ubushmot ishaveya is a mitzvat asay. That people should take a shvua b'shem Hashem. When you have a shvua emet to take, it's a mitzvah to take a shvua b'shem Hashem be'emet, and it's a kiddush Hashem. Just like a shvua shav or shvua sheker is a chilul Hashem, a positive statement where you take a shvua emet is a kiddush Hashem, and it's actually a mitzvah asay. What she says with regards to this, shehashvua b'shma gadol v'kadosh midarchei avodahi. It's part of avodat Hashem. And it's a great thing to take a shvua in the Shem Hashem when it's true. Because then you're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Because you are being honest and you're associating Hashem's name with your honesty. And that is actually a Kiddush Hashem. And therefore he believes that that is a mitzvah to say to take a shvuat emet. The majority of the Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Rashi, and many others are very loath to say such a thing. Mostly or likely because of the dangers of taking Shavuot and the way that the Gemara speaks about Shavuot in a very negative light, and that we try to avoid Shavuot at all costs, to the point by the time you get to the time of the Gonim, Shavuot don't exist anymore. They're using Nidoy or Cherim, they're using other mechanisms besides Shavua because they feel it's too dangerous to have people take Shavuot when they're taking Shavuot to Sheker. And therefore they believe is that this is just a reshut. This is permission to take a shvua when necessary to take a shvua demet. But it's not a mitzvah to say to do such. But either way, we now cannot say that the shvua that we're saying over here, that the din, that which we quoted from the Tochacha, Imlo Tishmor Lasod, the Kodivrei Torah Zod, Oktubim Sefer Zeh, Lirat Hashem and Yechabad, Vanora Zeh, Hashem Elokecha, Vifra Hashem and Makotcha, Vet Makot Zarecha, Makot Gdolot, Venamot, Chalim Raim Nemanim. Can't say that's referencing to a shvua demet. That's clearly referencing to somebody who is misusing the Shem Hashem. And someone who's misusing the Shem Hashem is going to be subject to Malkot. Now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Says, okay, why don't you say that the Pasuk is going to teach you that Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala is what you get Malkot for, not Mikalel B'Shem. And that's it. The Gemara says, Migara Mikalel T'Kaviro B'Shem Mimotzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. Isn't one subsumed in the other? By definition, Mikalel B'Shem is a form of Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So then, why would you question that? Even if it's speaking about Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, then it would also include Mikalel B'Shem Hashem, and you would get Malkot for that. So that's not a question that undermines what we're saying here. It just means that there's a greater number of items that would get Malkot. Shem Shemayim Levatala by itself, and Mikalel B'Shem Hashem. It says, Anahachi Kakashalan. This is our question. Ema motzi shem shemayim levatala tiskile b'malkot. That b'malkot would all be sufficient, a punishment for someone who's motzi shem shemayim levatala. Aval mikalel chaviro b'shem, someone who's mikalel his friend b'shem Hashem. Kevin d'gavid tarte, he's doing two things that are problematic. D'kam mefik shem shemayim levatala, he's doing the violation of being motzi shem shemayim levatala, but also commits arle lechavre. He's also causing pain and suffering and difficulty to his friend. Lo tiskele b'malkot. And therefore, it would not be sufficient for him to get Malkot. Maybe we need something more. Maybe Malkot isn't the punishment here, and he'd have to wait for something else, but we wouldn't give him Malkot. That's our question. How do you know that Mikalel Shem Hashem, that Malkot are enough? I understand by Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, but I don't know where you get to Mikalel B'Shem Hashem from that. But it says, Lo Matzi Armart, that you can't say, Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Lo Tikalel Cheresh. Pasuk says, you may not curse a Cheresh in Parshat Kedoshim. It says with regards to a cheresh that you're not allowed to curse him. These are the umlalim, those of lower stature in society, people that can't hear you cursing them, and yet you're still restricted and you're still enjoined not to curse them. It says, lo tikalel cheresh, v'lefnei iver lo titen michshol, v'yareitem elokecha, ani Hashem. So now the Gemara says, the Rashi explains over here, lo tikalel cheresh, mashma ben klala stam, ben klala b'shem. That the one way he explains it is that when it says lo tikalel cheresh, it says it without qualifying what type of klala it is. It sounds like it's a klala whether you have the Shem Hashem or whether you don't have the Shem Hashem with it. And then the Gemara would continue based on this to say that it is not true that with regards to Mikalel B'Shem Hashem, that Malkot is not sufficient. The first reason being because of the fact that we say here that Lo Tekalel Cheresh applies whether you use the Shem Hashem and you don't use the Shem Hashem. And then the Gemara continues with that answer and explains, V'yamar Bishlama Tekalel Et Chaveiro. If you say that the Pasuk in Dvarim Kafchet of Lirat Hashem Nechvad V'Nora Zet Hashem Lokecha V'Yifla Hashem Et Makutcha is a reference to Likalel B'Shem Hashem, Azharadei Mehacha. Then the Azhara comes from here. This is the Lav, that's the Onesh. Tichtev lo yiktekalel cheresh. Eli Amart, if you want to say that that Pasuk in Devarim Kafchet is speaking about Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, Azharadei Mehacha, where is there a restriction in the Torah against misusing the Shem Hashem that you now would have an Onesh for misusing it? Allah Malo. Gemara says, why not? Vaktiv. Don't we have the Pasuk back in Devarim Vav that we quoted before the end of it? Now we quote the beginning of it, which is, Et Hashem Lekecha Tira, Voto Tavod, Ubishumo Tishaveya. So you see, Et Hashem Lekecha Tira, Voto Tavod, that comes to teach you that there is an Azhara, that there is a requirement to treat Hashem's name with reverence, and if you don't do such, then it would be problematic. And that'll be the Azhara. Where it says, Azhara Tasehu, that's not a real Azhara, because that comes from a inference from a positive statement. It is an assay that tells you that what we're supposed to do is revere the Hashem's name. You infer from that, that if you don't revere it, there's something wrong. But that's not a lav, that's an azhara mitoch asay, and an azhara mitoch asay is really an asay. And therefore, it would only make sense to say that it's speaking about lo tekelel cheresh, and since lo tekelel cheresh applies both when you use the Shem Hashem and not the Shem Hashem, you see, even bekalel b'shem Hashem is sufficient with just malkot. So that's one way that Rashi explains it. Then he brings another way to explain it based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, whereby the Gemara says over there, the Pasuk says, Nasi b'amcha lo ta'or, and also says, lo tekalel cheresh. Nasi b'amcha ta'or is the highest person in the social strata. Lo tekalel cheresh is someone at the bottom of the social strata. Ben shnehem, from a binyan av, from both of them, we learn that you can't curse anyone. Even mekalel t'chaviro is problematic. And therefore, when you say here, lo tekalel cheresh, lo tekalel cheresh, includes lo mektekalel et chaveiro, and you see that the punishment for lo tekalel cheresh is malkot, because we learned that out for nasi b'amcha lo ta'or. And just like by nasi b'amcha lo ta'or, there's only malkot, so too by lo tekalel cheresh, there's only malkot, and we learn out from mikalel aviv v'imo, the benakvo b'shem, that that includes mikalel b'shem Hashem. You see here that mikalel b'shem Hashem is efficient with malkot, and therefore that would undermine what we said before, that maybe Malkot is not enough of a punishment. Then in this version, you would go on with the Girsa, which you see in the Masorta Shas, which is Vi'i Ba'itema. Another possible answer is what we just read in the Gemara, which is the fact that there's no lav, there's no azhara for Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, where there is a lav for Mikalelet Chaveiro B'Shem. And then that would undermine our position from the other perspective, which is, you wanted to suggest that Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala gets Malkot, and that's what the Pasuk speaking about. And also, that Mikalel Chaveiro B'Shem, it wasn't sufficient with Malkot. So the first answer we brought undermines that, because Lo Tekalel Cheresh, which is B'Shem Hashem, and refers to Chaveiro, is sufficient with Malkot, so that undermines that position. And then the Ibaitema, the second answer is, that even if you want to say that it's speaking about Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatalai, you just can't do that, because you don't have any Azhara in order to do that. Interestingly enough, the Shita Mikubet and an Obed actually says that the two answers here, in the second version, which has an Ibaitema, actually have a nafkamina between them. And that is that according to the first answer, Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, we could have gotten Malkot from the Pasuk in Dvarim Kavchet, because he believes that an Azharat Aseh will result in Malkot. And that's why he didn't use the second answer, but rather came up with the answer of Lo Tekalel Cheresh. Whereas the second answer didn't answer that way, because they don't believe that you can get Malkot from Azharat Aseh. And that's why they brought that as the undermining proof to the fact that it can't be that B'Flai Hashem et Malkutcha is speaking about Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph.